The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to a new week. We are back in the middle of the month of May and glad you are with us. A lot to do. And since we saw you on Friday, a lot of news has been created, some of it emanating from right here. And we'll get right to all of the headlines in just a minute. College football coaching carousel taught us no job is too good to leave. That is the subject we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes with the author of that. Talk about how one job change created a million other ones. And remember when Saban was on our show on Friday? Lane Kiffin had some reaction. First, let's hear what Coach had to say.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I'd like to see us be able to work back to is, you know, everything in college football has always had parity. You know, same scholarship, you know, same academic support, healthcare, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't think we have that balance right now, which could affect, you know, the parity of college football and college athletics as a whole. So, and I know we got a lot of good people working on it, and I'm sure they'll come up with a good solution for us.
So Lane Kiffin heard about that interview, and he says, I love the GOAT, but Coach, you feeling okay? And then he tweets at me saying, Paul, did you tell the GOAT what the word parity, the state of condition of being equal, especially regarding status or pay. So it was quite a weekend. You know, when we talked to Coach Saban at the golf tournament, the Regents Tradition certainly caught my attention when he used the word parity. I thought I knew what he was talking about. A lot of people around the country took it as an opportunity to pile on. And here we are on Monday, still cleaning up some of the shrapnel. One more headline that has gotten some interest is that an NFL coach claims Michigan and Alabama best at preparing players for the NFL. Mike Griffith took a great issue with that comment. Remember, he declared Georgia the winner of the NFL draft even before it happened and turned out to be right. Mike, your reaction to that story and that headline and that coach who kind of went right over Kirby Smart's head and praising Harbaugh and Saban.
Yeah, pretty incredible. You know, now the Ravens were in the midst of a six-game losing streak when the Orange Bowl was played, so maybe John Harbaugh missed the memo. Obviously, saying that Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, I mean, I might have missed something, but do NFL teams go to high school academies for training camp? Do they go to Rome? I mean, listen, you can't make stupid comments like that. If you win a Super Bowl, you can say stupid things and tell jokes that aren't funny, and everybody will laugh. But if you're John Harbaugh and you've won one playoff game in the last 6 years, it's not funny. And, yeah, we do take college football seriously, and you can't overlook the SEC and just make an outrageous comment like that and expect there not to be some accountability.
Well, you are aware, of course, that John Harbaugh did win a Super Bowl a number of years ago, but you seem rather sensitive. Did somebody spill in your that's not the exact word, spill in your cornflakes this morning? I mean, what's going on here, Mike? I mean, Kirby Smart can handle it. He's a relatively big guy.
Well, you know, Paul, it's guys like you and me that have a responsibility to set the record straight. And when somebody says something in a year where Georgia has 15 players drafted for the NFL, a record, five defensive players. I mean, you know, you've got to hold people accountable. You can't just cower down to these power figures. Maybe the Ravens beat writers will run scurrying and the Michigan people will wave the go blue M flag. Never mind that Jim Harbaugh's only won one Big Ten championship in seven, only reached the Big Ten championship game once in the last 7 years. I mean, this is really all about accountability, Paul, setting the record straight and giving Georgia their fair due because that's hard to come by in the SEC, for Georgia at least.
Talking to Mike Griffith here on the program from Dog Nation. I read that incorrectly. I'm sorry, Mike.
That's all right.
I'm sure by now you heard what Nick Saban said the other day in the interview we had with him about parity. A lot of people have piled on. What about you?
Well, you know, when you had your coach on the other day, I felt like Saban, you know, was trying to, you know, saying that he wanted a level playing field. I'm not exactly sure what that means, because when I look at Alabama and how many players they've turned out for the NFL, the way they've just absolutely dominated the league, Paul, you know this better than anyone. In fact, I don't think they've lost a regular season game to an East Division team since Steve Spurrier was at South Carolina in 2007. Now, Georgia beat them last year in the championship game, but they needed a second chance to do it. Bama cleaned them up in the SEC
Mike, let me jump in before we hear from 1,000 South Carolina fans. It is worth noting in 2010, Alabama did lose at Columbia against South Carolina in that epic takedown of the number one team in the country. But keep talking. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, Steve Spurrier, another guy that I don't think gets his due. I'm glad Billy Napier finally got his phone number and is starting to include him in some things. That's smart for Florida to
Mike,
do that.
I ask you a question? I don't mean to hijack my own interview with you, but what is this torch that you're carrying for Steve Spurrier about every time he gets slighted? I mean, what are you talking about there? Most of us aren't intimate with Spurrier that we know whether or not Billy Napier has bothered to call him up or not. Can you explain that?
Well, I just think Steve Spurrier is on the Mount Rushmore of SEC coaches. I don't think we talk about Steve Spurrier enough. I think we probably talked about, you know, the great Paul Bear Bryant far more after, you know, his death than we do a Steve Spurrier who's very much alive and certainly, you know, one of the greatest minds in college football that I think, you know, kind of gets overlooked.
I'm well aware of who Spurrier is. I'm not aware of why he just got his phone number while Billy Napier just, you know, while these two guys just got together. That's what I was asking you about.
Oh, yeah. I'm just making light of Coach Napier being an outsider coming in from Louisiana and, you know, bringing a lot of the Nick Saban, you know, coaching strategies to Gainesville when you've got the most successful coach in Florida history, right? I just find all that curious. So that was an offhanded comment, Paul.
But it's not the first time we've heard that from you. And I am well aware that you and Spurrier are friends, and I consider Steve Spurrier a friend. But I also realize that he's been gone for 7 years, and you know, whether or not Billy Napier has time to sit down and trade plays with the HBC, I don't think it's really terribly important right now for him to get Florida back on track.
Well, if I were Billy Napier, I would go to the Spurrier Grill, and I don't know if you've been there yet, Paul, but
I have
they
not,
actually
for the
have
record.
All of Spurrier. Okay, well, for the record, they have all of Spurrier's greatest plays as wallpaper in the bathroom. So I think Billy Napier needs to go to Spurrier's Grill and spend some time in the bathroom studying up on all the Steve Spurrier plays from yesterday. I'm not kidding. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen to see all these plays on the – nevertheless.
Just for the record, Mike, are you an investor in Spurrier's Grill? I was just curious with all the plugs you're giving for that restaurant.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to put things into perspective on a Monday.
More importantly, I know this will go down as one of the most scatter shooting interviews of my life. I just noticed, who is buried behind you?
Well, according to Cherokee legend, that's the Underground Panther Fountain. It's been there since 1927 here in Sequoia Hills, one of the more historic places in the southeastern, off the beaten path. I'm surprised that you didn't venture over here at some point during your time at the University of Tennessee when you were establishing yourself as one of the finest young journalists in the Southeastern Conference.
I think I was there at night.
You probably were.
I just didn't recognize it during the daylight.
I
might find some old beer cans thrown in those woods that we tossed back in the day. So Mike, let me try to do some cleanup here on aisle one of this interview, which has been It's gotten way beyond my dreams in terms of all the distractions. The Spurrier grill plug you had, the panties in a wad over John Harbaugh sliding your guy, Kirby Smart, who, by the way, we did talk to as well on our show on Friday. You may have missed that.
It was big of you to do that. I know Kirby appreciated you made time for him. There were a lot of other – I know Saban was the – but listen, actually, Paul, here's what we really got to get ready for. The SEC, and we love football, but this baseball that's coming up, and that's what I was up here for, to see this Tennessee baseball team. This may be the best SEC baseball team since 1997 LSU, and I know the SEC Network – has carried a lot of these games, but what Tony Vitello has done here is Ruthian. And watching this Tennessee, now Georgia was able to get one from Tennessee, and we're getting ready for the SEC tournament in Hoover, of course, and I know you've written columns from there before, but there's some dynamic stuff happening in SEC baseball. I had to jump that and get up here and see these Vols in person. That baseball team is unbelievable.
So, Mike, let's get back to Georgia here after the plug for Tony Vitello for mayor. We had Kirby on the other day. He had an interesting comment, I thought, about tampering. He said a lot of players are calling him. That's really where the tampering issues begin. What did you make out of that comment?
Well, I thought it was interesting. It's not surprising. You know, when you win I'm sure that Nick Saban has the same issues. And listen, everybody wants to be a part of a good thing, obviously. And Kirby has a lot of momentum right now. We haven't seen Georgia take anyone in the portal. They've lost seven guys. Four of them were former starters, but he's done a really nice job recruiting and refilling the tank, so to speak. Now, what I thought was interesting, and your interviews, by the way, are fantastic. We write a lot of stories with your ability to get these newsmakers, and you do ask the tough questions. And I know I really appreciate that as a journalist, but Kirby Smart saying that he wants to score more points. I mean, that sounds like kind of a no-duh kind of comment. But I think he realizes he has to. I think he realizes that last year was the exception to the rule, winning with defense. I think he also realizes that if he wants to get recruits, he needs to light up the scoreboard. And that means playing offense in the fourth quarter, something Georgia didn't have to do a lot of. But in this Arch Manning race, and I thought you encapsulated this well last Friday, Arch Manning still very much up in the air. And I'm hearing from sources that Brian Kelly, I guess his accent struck just right, Brian Kelly and LSU now are in this hunt, a strong dog in the hunt. So Georgia, LSU, Alabama, Texas. And I think Kirby Smart realizes that the dogs need to light up the scoreboard if they want to get some talented recruits in here again next year.
Mike, before you go, the preseason publications are all coming out. And I don't know, maybe I am surprised. I don't know. You help me with this because you cover the dogs. The dogs are almost consistently been ranked third, fourth, fifth in most of the preseason polls. Do you feel that's about right? Because considering what they've lost, I've heard you talk about that ad nauseum, I mean, a lot, I should say. Where do you think the dogs should be?
That's probably about right. I mean, I think Alabama's stacked. They've had the best haul of incoming players, including one of Georgia's best receivers, Jermaine Burton. They got Georgia Tech's outstanding running back. A Louisville receiver. Alabama looks really strong to me, Paul. I don't know how you could make anybody but Alabama number one with Bryce Young back. And the Ohio State, I mean, I guess as long as it's not colder than 40 degrees, the Buckeyes will show up and play. But when it gets cold out, you know, they scamper and lose to teams like Michigan and Michigan State in a game I saw famously a few years ago. I think that's where it needs – I want to clear something up, though. When I said that I thought it would be miraculous – for Georgia to win the East, I didn't mean in terms of the odds. I mean, they're favored by a minimum of 16 points in every game that I've seen from FanDuel so far. And that closest game is at Kentucky, by the way. I meant from the standpoint of what will be the most major overload in college football history. You're talking about 15 draft picks and seven players that have left via the portal, including four starters. That portal was never a part of the reload discussion before. And if that staff is able to win the East again, I think you have to give him credit, just like I give Nick Saban tremendous credit and have said the word miraculous before in his ability to maintain that edge in the West. Will be interesting to see if Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies can make a run. I did see Jimbo's begging for a playoff, perhaps realizing that four teams wouldn't be enough for A&M to find their way into the playoff anytime soon.
Ooh, the money quote at the end by Mike Griffith. We'll leave it there. Mike, you be well. Tell my friends in Big Orange Country hello. I'll see them shortly. Mike Griffith joining us from Knoxville. Wow, that was quite a drop the mic comment that Griff had at the end of the segment. Let's tell you who else we'll be chatting with today other than Griff. And it's Chris Vanini is up next. Rittenberg, Kirshner, sounds like a law firm, yeah. And Hayes. We'll be coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're off here and running, and the hits keep coming. Chris Vanini from The Athletic, one of the best reporters and writers in the land, with a really great piece out about lessons learned from a coaching football carousel like no other. Oklahoma and Texas both opening. Coaches going from Oklahoma to USC, and obviously Kelly going to LSU from Notre Dame. Chris, many, many thanks for joining us. I know a lot of people perhaps have read this article already, and I'm not asking you to regurgitate every single aspect, but there's so much in here, and those two moves created so many other domino effects. Good afternoon, and we're eager to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was really probably the most wild coaching carousel we've ever seen, in at least in modern history, and so we're kind of doing a big look back on it at The Athletic, and one of the pieces I had today was some of the lessons to take away, and one of those is that no job is too good to leave anymore. I mean, Oklahoma had its coach leave for another college job for the first time since 1947. Notre Dame had a coach leave for another college job for the first time since 1907. And so we had monumental changes, Miami, Notre Dame, LSU, USC. We'd never seen this before. And so it really is, given some time to look back on it now, it's pretty wild to remember everything that happened last winter.
And Chris, those two jobs happened in a relatively short period of time. It was jaw-dropping as one happened. And then just as we were being able to get off the floor, there goes Brian Kelly. The domino effects are great, but when you talk about no job is too good, I mean, it's obvious what you mean, but do you think that's the new normal, or was that a one-off?
I think it's the new normal. I mean, obviously Nick Saban's not going to go anywhere, and Kirby Smart maybe not, or maybe the NFL or something like that, but this is what it is now, because the advantages that those programs had for 100 years, whether it was television or facilities or money, everybody's kind of got that now. And I think you can look at a school like Michigan State, which is paying Mel Tucker $9.5 million a year after two seasons and one bowl game as a coach, There's just more and more money in the sport and boosters who want to step up to keep coaches. But there are going to be jobs that just offer different things. Lincoln Riley going to USC instead of going into the SEC with Oklahoma. Brian Kelly, he's made the playoff twice at Notre Dame, yet he still felt like he had to go to LSU to compete for a national championship. That's just kind of how the landscape is now.
And I think the second thing you said there is probably the most interesting. Lincoln Riley's still a young guy who, there's a lot of debate about whether he really liked the SEC move or not. But Brian Kelly, established coach, played for national championships. And when you say, I don't think I can win a national championship at Notre Dame, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the benchmark to get to that top level, you basically have to recruit a top three recruiting class every year. And Notre Dame could recruit a top 10 class. At LSU, you can get a top five class. You can get a top three class. That's how much, that's how big of a difference is between being top five and being top two. I mean, it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Clemson most years, Ohio State. That's about it. LSU, has the 1 year. Brian Kelly, him leaving did not totally surprise me because he had said for years that he had been at Notre Dame for a long time and that coaches don't typically stay at Notre Dame for that long of a time. Now, I didn't expect him to say it right after he said he wasn't going to leave for another job, but that's just kind of how coaching moves work these days.
I want to go back to what you said because, we get calls here from fans of a lot of, up-and-coming schools, and, maybe they get to a bowl game finally after a couple of years in the wilderness, and their fans start talking, hey, we can beat Alabama, we can beat Georgia, but you just said it. The evidence is there. If you're not at the top of the rung recruiting-wise, you are probably you're not going to win a national championship, are you?
We'll just look at the last couple of NFL drafts. I mean, Georgia's got a record number of players picked. LSU had it. Alabama, you're having these draft records broken that have never happened before, and that's because the talent, the top-level talent is being gathered at the very top handful of schools. It's not like it was 10 years ago. The depth at a place like Alabama, at a place like Georgia, at Ohio State is more than it's ever been before. And that's just how far those top couple of schools are from everybody else. Talk about expanding the playoff, talk about whatever you want. There's still only going to be a couple of schools in the mix at the end of the year because that's where all the talent's going.
Finally, on Lincoln Riley, whether Kelly gets there or not, I think, will take a few years to decipher, but Lincoln Riley has made a tremendous impact with, Caleb Williams and so many other key players. What is your best guess on how long will it take him to be in a position at least to get to the playoffs?
To get to the playoff, I would think maybe next year you start looking at it. But more than anything, what Lincoln Riley has to do is rebuild USC in the trenches. I mean, they can get all the skilled players in the world that they want, the receivers, the running backs, the quarterbacks, but they really need to do a much better job on the offensive line. They have been getting beaten up for years. And when you lose a top player like they did a couple weeks ago who goes to Oregon instead, that's the kind of thing that makes you wonder, is Lincoln Riley going to be able to build that kind of team? Because he couldn't at Oklahoma. They weren't as good in the trenches as the SEC, and that's what happened when they went up against each other. That's what he has to build at USC, where there's even less talent out there on the West Coast in terms of offensive linemen, defensive linemen. So that's what he's going to have to do to compete for a national championship. He could make the playoff, 2023, 2024, but to get in the national championship, they're going to have to be a lot better in the trenches.
Great stuff from Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Great article as well. Many thanks, Chris. We appreciate you being here. What a busy first 30 minutes with Griff and Chris. We have a little bit of time over this next section to get your reaction to all of that and anything else over the weekend, and we are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Don't forget, Saturday morning, Marty and McGee. You can catch it right here at 7 a.m. Let's start the phone calls off with one of the all-timers, Hall of Famer. Legend is next.
Legend. Woo! East Coast, baby. What's going on, Feinbaum?
Legend, what a treat to have you as the first caller of the day.
Man, let's get this week crunk up right, baby. I seen you put that hat on when you was talking to Dog Griffin.
Black hat all the way.
Woo! I tell you, Paul. Hey, Paul, I got up this morning. I did 54 jumping jacks, 54 push-ups, and 54 laps around my house. Baby, I feel 54 shades of awesome today. Woo! Paul, about Dog Griffin, man, he's got his facts messed up real bad, Paul. Here's the thing. The dude just needs to shut up because nobody's asking BYU about their program and their NFL players. Nobody's talking to Colorado about their NFL players. You won one championship in 40 years, Dog Griffin. Nobody cares about Georgia. Let me break it down to Georgia fans and Dog Griffin. Whoop, whoop. Meow. Let me break it down to you. You wouldn't have nothing if Kirby Smart didn't learn at the feet of the GOAT. It's the only reason you have anything, brother. It's the only reason, because he learned at the program, at the Muhammad Ali of college football. He learned at the knee of the greatest coach to ever live. It's the only reason you got anything, Dog Griffin. It's the only reason you got anything, Georgia Nation. It's the only reason. And don't you forget it, ever. Now, you did say one thing, Dog Griffin, that made sense. A&M will never see a four-team playoff. A&M, who I like to call Creflo Dollar, is never going to see a four-team playoff, and they need to get a 24-team playoff to even sniff it this year. I just looked this weekend, Paul. They got the left-handed quarterback from LSU last year. They got Johnson out there starting quarterback. Forget it, dude. Auburn gonna beat your ass. I don't know what you thinking and dreaming of. And lastly, let me bring a steel chair up in here and bam, up over Lane Kiffin's head. Let me tell you what parity is, brother. Parity is we win 5 out of every 10, and you peasants, which is the rest of the teams in the SEC that we've been toting for years, gets to share one or two of the other 5, however you want to split them up. That's what parity is, brother. That's what Nick Saban was saying to you. He don't want to change anything because we own it, and we're going to continue to own it. Let me break it down to you, Kiffin. We like you as an Alabama fan base, but if you run your mouth and get out of line when Nick retires in 5 years, we won't want you at Alabama. So if you ever want to sniff a national championship, keep your damn mouth shut, run that middle of the pack program over in Ole Miss, and in 5 or 10 years when Saban retires, we'll come get you, brother, and you'll know what it's like to raise a national championship trophy like the GOAT. Now I'm finna go take 54 drinks, baby, and have 54 shades of fun. Woo! East Coast, baby. Love you, Paul. Let's crank it up.
Legend out. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Oh, my God. I need some air in the room here. My worst fears are fouling either Senator Q from Deep Voice Gap, North Carolina, or the legend. He did a great call. Anyways, Mike Griffin didn't disappoint, but I'm going to call him Mr. Cheap Shot. I mean, he took shots at Harbaugh, Napier, and Jimbo. And
John, help me with this. What about this I mean, I said it was a torch. I mean, it's more, it's a crush. It's this.
Oh, my goodness. Here's what he did, Paul.
Visor crush.
He beatified Spurrier to sainthood, all for the purpose of making him the straw dog to take another shot at Napier.
Exactly. And by the way, I understand. I mean, I've been around a lot of older coaches, and you understand this, John. They get hung up on disrespect. Like, hey, guy hasn't called me yet. Like, you know, with all due respect to Steve Spurrier, what does Billy Napier need from him?
Well, he needs to go down to his grill, go into the bathroom, and watch the highlights. Apparently,
by the way, does he need to ask Spurrier last four Florida coaches have done? McElwain, Mullen.
Oh, we know the others.
I mean, all these guys have just crashed and burned down there, and you know Spurrier was always around during the Dan Mullen. Hey, by the way, did you see where Dan Mullen, they announced that he's now going to be a high school coach? Did I read that right?
That would be about his grade.
Didn't I see that somewhere?
Grade.
Yeah. He's going to be a contributing resource to some high school. Is it in Florida? I think it is. Oh, Greensboro, Georgia. So he's even crossing state lines.
Well, he's not wanted. He is not wanted in Florida anymore.
I don't
anymore.
Think his credit would extend too far in Florida right now.
But if Mike had taken a break from bloviating, he would have realized that what John Harbaugh had said was NFL-ready players.
There's a difference between playing
how many
and being
number.
Drafted.
Yeah, and Michigan's put a lot in there, and Alabama's the leader.
But, John, I don't know if I've ever seen anyone more upset about a slight. You think Kirby Smart gives two rips what John Harbaugh has to say about anything? No.
Do you think Kirby Smart ever talks to Mike Griffith?
John, I really don't think I can answer that question because I have no idea. I know I've seen them together because when Coach Smart was on our show in Georgia, Griffith was off stage with his tongue out. Like a dog on a hot summer day?
Sign my autograph, Kirby, please.
Kirby, please.
And the worst part,
please, Kirby.
The worst part is he went and contradicted himself. He says, I don't want you to think it would be miraculous if they won the SEC East.
That's exactly what he said.
But then he essentially said it again.
He did say it again. I don't know. You know what I love most about that phone call? That Griff needed to go to Knoxville to see the Tennessee baseball team play.
Yeah, I don't know who invited him to that.
Like, you can't go to Hoover next week and see them on display for 4 days. He had to get a look at that Tennessee baseball team.
Great opening interview and a great segment by legend.
Thank you very, very much. We'll hit the break here because we're out of Griff shots. A few rim shots coming up in a few minutes. More guests to come. We're off and running on a Monday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Glad you're with us on a Monday, and we have had a hot start. AC in New Jersey is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for you. Absolutely. I have a quick question for you. Do you see Mr. Nick Saban, the legend of all legend, is winning one more championship before he calls it retirement? Within 2 years, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's going to be this year. So, yeah, that was an easy one to answer. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. There's a rumor going around that the only seat that Mike Griffith could get at Steve Spurrier's restaurant is in the bathroom. So I don't know if you know that or not. I was blown away by him complimenting the Tennessee baseball team, though. I mean, that's something I've never heard from Mike Griffith, though. What did you think about Grant Williams' performance yesterday afternoon
Classic.
In the NBA.
Yeah, I was really glad to hear that. I'm a big fan of Grant, and I don't know many people that have overcome more longer odds than Grant Williams, considering I remember he sat right next to me here on the set a couple of years ago and talked about his recruitment. I think he had about three offers coming out of high school. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. That turned out to be a great decision by the Celtics a few years ago. Bob in Fort Worth, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Well, I just called in. Saban saying about talking about football, that's just almost laughable. Last time Saban was in a league that was had any sort of parity to it, he didn't first win.
Yeah, you know,
you there?
Yeah, Bob, we are, but I'm not sure you are. You need to speak into that phone. We missed a couple of words.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I heard what you said.
Can you hear me better now?
You were talking about Saban and parity in the NFL, right?
Yeah. Like I said, the last time he had any kind of parity in a league, he didn't fare so well.
No, he really didn't.
Yeah, him. You know, that's – hey, whatever happened to this bill allocation that come out from Louisville about Alabama's tampering? You know,
the allegation was made, but yeah, you can't prove that unless you have you know tangible evidence. And you know, Saban shut it down. Yeah, I will say Saban did not like the question. I think that's an understatement. Let me go to Travis next in Texas. Hey, Travis.
Hello, Paul. This fellow Will from Louisiana got under my skin a few days ago. As you know, I'm an Aggie, live here in Bryan College Station. And he goes down a list and says A&M is not as good as Alabama. A&M is not as good as LSU. A&M is not as good as Auburn. A&M is not as good as LSU, so forth and so on. And, of course, we beat Alabama last year, so, you know, I have a hard time seeing his certainty that we're not as good as Alabama. And then you have all these people complaining because Jimbo got out in front on this NIL doing what was legal and recruited the best class in America, for which he has taken a lot of abuse from other coaches like this guy at Ole Miss. Paul, I'm starting to believe that these powers that be, longtime traditional powers in the SEC, are afraid of A&M. They see their money and they see their recruiting, and they don't like the fact that A&M is muscling in on the traditional powers in the SEC, and that's why we're taking a lot of abuse for that. What do you think, Paul?
I think you're right. Since the day A&M arrived, there has been a whispering fear about what would happen if they ever got it right. Because there's only one this is just my opinion, but there's only one school in the country, I think, that can compete with A&M from a financial standpoint, and that's Texas. Those two are standalone when it comes to ability and resources. And this is a money game right now that we're talking about here. And I think when you hear the Sabans of the world complaining, that's why he's saying what he's saying. And it's only going to get worse with Texas coming into the SEC. Now, I know people are saying, well, they haven't done squat, but there's a lot of reasons for Texas's failures. That doesn't mean they will continue to be failures. I think Texas can come back very well as long as they get the right coach in there.
Yeah. Texas is toxic, Paul, and they're going to try to control that conference.
No,
as they have.
I'm with you on that.
They're going to try to ruin the SEC like they have the SWC and the Big 12.
Yeah, I would. I say this knowing that it's not accurate. I'd like to think Texas has found some humility by losing, but you and I both know that's not accurate.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
The only thing I'll say about Texas, it's not a warning shot, it's the truth. They will find the SEC to be a little more crowded when it comes to egos than the Big 12. There's going to be a lot of elbowing at that table. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's go to Matt, who is in Austin, Texas right now. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, you just hit on what I was going to say. in the unlimited, no holes barred, anything goes world of NIL that we're in right now, if you're starved for entertainment and amusement or just bored, and you want to observe the most outrageous, over the top, appalling, disgraceful behavior, just tune into the little stretch of road between Austin and College Station and the boosters down there and watch what's going to happen over the next few years. Because with all the money and everything, it's going to come down to which school will give a kid more oil wells than the other one. I mean, if anything goes, Paul, and it's whoever's boosters are the craziest and has the most money, look no further than Austin and College Station.
Yeah, something tells me that the ghosts of SMU are going to be alive and well. Hey, thank you. We have Adam Rittenberg next.